We need the Holy Spirit, don't we? Man. Well, just again, I wanted to remind you of baptism today. We've been talking about it. We mentioned it in the announcements. And hey, welcome back. A lot of times, people are kind of on the bubble about it, and that's okay too. So I would just encourage you just to pray about it. And basically, if you're a Christian, then that's something that you should do as a Christian, as an outward act of obedience to the Lord, basically a public proclamation of your faith in Christ. And so I would ask yourself, if you are a Christian, you haven't been baptized, then ask yourself, well, why not? Why wouldn't I do that? And you probably won't come up with a good question or a good answer, unless you're like, have a medical issue or something like that. But pray about it. It's neat because since we started this church, every time we do this, which we do it once a year, and I never know if anybody's going to get baptized. I know this time we have a list, but you're always wondering, and I've always had this phobia of standing there and nobody having this big event and nobody coming down, but by God's grace, it's always blown me away every single time. And it seems like there's always somebody at the very end that you don't expect that comes down or wasn't expecting to get baptized, and just the Holy Spirit moves on them and they get baptized. So, and then another thing about that, just it's so important, I think, for the church body to support our brothers and sisters who are doing this. So, if you're not getting baptized, if you can, come up and just support them as a church family, to be a part of such a big event in another Christian's life. And then again, just come up and fellowship and hang out. It'll be a lot of fun. So with that, we need to pray again because we're going to start a new book today. We're just going to barely start it. But I'm excited about starting 1 Peter. So if you're new to our church, we basically just work through the Bible, verse by verse, line by line. We think that the Bible contains everything that we need to build our life on the truth. And the Bible is the agent of spiritual growth. It's how we grow. So we're to desire the pure word of God, the pure milk of God, so that we would grow thereby. So we just finished James last week, and then we're going to move on to the next book, which is 1 Peter. But before we get into that, I'd like to address the Supreme Court's decision a little bit on Friday and just say some words about that, okay? So we definitely need to be praying again, don't we? So Lord, help us in these issues. Help us in these times. Help us to be that all that we're supposed to be in these times. Help us to be lights in the world. Help us to be salt in the earth. Help us not to forget why we're here and what this is all about. Help us to keep in perspective what the world is and that the fact that this is not our home, Lord. And just let us take advantage of these times for the gospel's sake, Lord. Let us be supernaturally enabled and equipped to minister and reach out to the least, to the last, and the lost. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I just thought that we definitely need to address some of these issues. And what I want to do is just go point out a few scriptures. I suggest or encourage you to take notes if you want the notes from this. You can just email the church and I'll give you the notes. I'll just send them to you electronically if you'd like that. So if you haven't heard, has anybody not heard about what happened? Okay, nobody would admit it, but so basically the Supreme Court made a ruling 5-4 that the definition of marriage is now changed, and so marriage can be a marriage with same-sex people. So basically, it's a huge thing. I can't even express how big of a thing this is. the ramifications of this. As we look at it, we don't even know really all the fallout that's going to happen, but we know it's going to be tragic and horrific and bad on a lot of different levels, on a lot of different levels. And so we know this because of history, and we know this because of our Bibles. So as we've opened this door up, what we've basically done is, as a nation, as a country, we've turned our back on God. This has been happening. Things have led up to this. So as a nation, we've made a decision as a nation to turn our back on God, to deny thousands of years of history of what a marriage is, and discount all of that, and to say, now we're going to decide that. So a court's going to decide what a marriage is now. So this now, of course, here's what happens, and here's always my question. The reason that I believe a marriage is what it is between a man and a woman is because that's what we see in the Bible. That's why. So if someone's going to say that it's not that, then I would like to know why. Well, why is it now a same? Why is that a marriage now? What foundation, what basis is there? And then my question would be, well, then who's to say that three people can't get married? Or four? Where does it end? Who's to say I can't marry my dog, Ben? How can anybody tell me I can't? Like, what basis does somebody have to tell me that I can't do that? See, that's the slippery slope we're on, because there's no basis. This is just subjective opinion now, right? So with that said, we have to understand what's important for us to understand first and foremost, and what I want you to know as a church, that we will always stand on biblical truth no matter what it costs. And that's not something, as long as we are here and this church exists, we'll stand on biblical truth, not counting the cost. It doesn't matter, because let God be true and every man a liar. Be that as it may, that things as we know it will be very different. Life in America will be very different. Our kids growing up, their grandkids, can be very different. We have to come back to our foundation, and we have to remember something. This is not our home. We have to remember what the Bible says about this world. We have to understand those things. But we can't forget our role in the world. We can't forget that it's not just about America. It's not just about this ruling. It's about winning people to Jesus Christ. It's about the gospel. So in light of that, I just want to point out a few scriptures so we know. We're equipped as a body. I think that's my responsibility, to make sure we're equipped. So first of all, we have to know it's wrong. And we have to know why it's wrong. So the two types of churches that will have no impact and no effect in regards to this ruling and affect the homosexual community are the ones, first, that deny the truth of the Bible, that it is wrong. So they can't help somebody like that. The second is those who yell and scream in a hateful way towards those people where we have lost an audience and have no opportunity to speak to them again. Those two type of churches won't be able to have an effect in light of the purpose of what Jesus was all about and the church is all about and should be about. But we have to know it's wrong. So there's not a marriage in the Bible between two people of the same sex in the whole Bible. Can't find that. There's not an endorsement of that in the whole Bible. And yet we know from all different ways in society, just from biology, from science, from the way things work, we know that can't be normal and natural. But in the book of Romans, you might want to just jot down Romans 1, 18 through 32. And here's what's interesting. homosexuality basically is something that is a result of rejecting God. In other words, it's a perversion. So it's when the Bible says, and if you read Romans 1, 18 through 32, it's when God lets go or he gives them over. Gives them over to what? So basically what's happening, this is what just happened. So it's like finally God's giving people over saying, I want this, I'm going to do this, I don't care about you, God, I don't care what you say, it doesn't matter. And God basically is saying, okay. And so what is he giving them over to? He's giving them over to their intense desire to reject God and do their own thing. So he's giving them over, it says, if you read that section, to a debased mind. And it says it ends up in exchanging the natural working of a man with a woman for a woman with a woman or a man for a man. It's very explicit. So we have to know it's wrong. And why is it wrong? Well, the reason it's wrong, first and foremost, is it goes all the way back to the very beginning in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, where it says, God made man. And then he brought man a woman. And the two, a man and a woman, they became one flesh. All of human history, all of society, all of life as we know it has a foundation of a man and a woman together in a loving, caring, marital relationship. That's the way it's supposed to be. But then mankind came from that. Human existence came from that first marriage. And it's been like that ever since. But then it goes deeper than that. Because in the book of Ephesians, it compares now the church's relationship with Jesus, the church being the bride of Christ with Jesus, as a marital relationship. And so God has worked through that union. It's always been a special union. It's been a union ordained by God. He's put a stamp on it, and he's blessed that. And so to now say that all these years of history is wrong, and as a country to say that, well, it's just flat out wrong. And it's now denying in a very aggressive way who God is and what he's done. It's basically we're thumbing our nose at God and saying we can do it our way. So we have to be careful not to look at a lot of these slogans and clever things that they make it about love and caring and nurturing and equal rights. It's not about that. It's about denying God. It's about rejecting him and his plan. Romans 8 says that. Now, God's giving us over to that. He's given our nation over to that. This has happened all throughout history. We're not the only ones that have been given over. And through all that, there's always been a remnant. There's always been people. So our nation could deny God. We don't have to. And we won't. So there's always a remnant. There's always a light. And I want you to know this, that God's not, he hasn't lost. We, as believers in Christ, we haven't lost. Sadly, those who think they've won, they've really lost. Because in the end, God's design has been made so that we can enjoy life and find fulfillment and satisfaction in God, in his design, within his framework. To reject that is to reject all that's good for us and that's wholesome. But we have to remember at the same time, the Bible speaks of this in the book of Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. It says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. How do we even know what good is and evil is? How do we even know that? from the only one that's good, God, right? That's the only way we know what's good. We don't have a source of good outside of God. And then he says, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And it says, woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their sight. And then down a little bit further in verse 24, it says, because they have rejected the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. So there it is. And you know, we've been tracking through the Bible and the Old Testament ever since we've been here from Genesis, verse by verse, line by line. And if we're doing the same thing all these other nations have done, we're doing exactly the same thing. We're following, it's no different. It's no different. Jesus even said, as it was in the days of Noah, so what will be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. So there will be a time, Jesus was saying, he's saying, I'm telling you, it's going to be like this. There's going to be a time where because of the rejection of God, which then has come with the moral decay and downfall, the implications, he says it's going to be like that in Noah. What happened in Noah? There's judgment. There's judgment. The worldwide judgment. In Genesis 6:5, it says that the judgment came because the imaginations of men of their heart were only evil. So God's so bad, they're just thinking about evil, doing evil. Their thoughts never rose above the evil. But here's the hinge I want to open the door on. In Genesis 50:20, when Joseph was mistreated by his brothers and put in prison and not being treated well, he says this. He says, but as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about, as it is this day, to save many, as many people as are alive. So what do we do? What do we do? And remember, this is only the small part before the message today. So what do we do? The other shoe is dropped. Can't go back on Friday. Friday happened. Number one, we, like never before, individually and corporately, need to be on our knees and praying before God. I mean desperate prayer. These are desperate times. It requires desperate prayers. Number two, we need to remember the battle is not ours. Whose is it? The battle belongs to the Lord. So important that we remember that. Ephesians 6:12, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. People are not our enemies. Satan is our enemy, and the dark forces that he uses to come against people. We are lifeguards on a rescue mission to save those people. Don't forget that. People are not the problem. And we have spiritual weapons of warfare, and we have to use our spiritual weapons to fight because it's a spiritual battle. Don't ever forget that. It's a spiritual battle. So the third thing is we have to remember, don't panic. Don't panic. God's still on his throne. Nothing's changed in the big scheme of things. Things are going to be weird and different and more challenging and things like that. But in the whole scheme of things, nothing's changed. God's not on his throne thinking, oh boy, I really don't know what I'm going to do now, and I lost the big one, and now we're in big trouble. Everything is still the same for us, a Christian, if you're a Christian. Everything's still the same. God's still on his throne. He still has a plan. He's still working that plan. He still loves us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. We're still going to heaven. We still have the Holy Spirit, and we still have a culture that we are to engage with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So don't panic. In Mark 13, 23, it says, take heed, I've told you these things beforehand. In John 16, 1, these things I've spoken to you that you should not be made to stumble. John 16, 4, these things I told you that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them, and these things I did not say to you at the beginning because I was with you. He was talking about his death and his resurrection, but the same applies. He's told us we know exactly what's going to happen. Do you know what's going to happen? Do you? We know exactly what's going to happen, so don't panic. Number four, engage the political process properly. We still have rights as Americans. We should exercise our rights properly as Americans to voice our opinion and stand for the truth through the political process. But at the same time, we have to remember Romans 13:1 says, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. So we have to remember that. So we have to be subject to our rulers, our authorities. Is there ever a time when we rebel against authorities and rulers or disobey their laws? Yes. The same Peter who wrote in 1 Peter, the book we're in, 2:13, to submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme, that Peter also said in Acts 5:29, obey God rather than man. What is he talking about? Well, if our government and the law told me that I can't preach the gospel and I have to keep my mouth shut, I would have to disobey the law. If the law told me that I have to go against my religious convictions and belief founded in the Bible to marry somebody of the same sex, I would have to go to jail or prison or pay a fine or whatever that is. I can't do that. So when it comes to my faith and it comes to government trying to legislate my faith and telling me I can't exercise and practice my faith, that's where I would be have to break the law. But otherwise, we follow the best we can as good citizens in order to be a witness to our society. Number five, don't miss this. We have to follow the Holy Spirit. You know what happens sometimes? Something like this happens, and you don't know what to do, so you start reading a bunch of stuff of people telling you what to do. Hey, how about following the Holy Spirit? Following the Holy Spirit, if we do that, God will always be magnified. And isn't that really the point? It's not just to win political battles, it's to magnify the Lord in whatever situation. So follow the Holy Spirit. And I think that's really important because I think it was a guy named Richard Moore of the Liberty Institute School. He said there will be all these spiritual sexual revolution refugees. So we need to be there as the church, ready for them. So don't blow your witness and don't lose a platform to share Jesus Christ. And the way you don't do that is you follow the Holy Spirit. You don't just follow what everybody says. Don't just follow what I say. Look at the Bible, follow the Holy Spirit, and you'll be okay. So that's number five. Number six, engage instead of disengaging the culture with love, compassion, and kindness as you share the hope of Jesus Christ. Because now, if that's what you're into, which we all should be, now we have the best opportunity we may have ever had in our country. Jesus said, look up for the fields are what? White. They're really white now. What does that mean? There's more opportunity for evangelism, more opportunity to share faith, more opportunity to love with the love of Christ, because there is going to be fallout. There is going to be hurt and decay and things that are unfathomable And God says, I've sent you into a dark generation for such a time as this. Such a time as this. You and I are here on this planet right now for this reason. So engage our culture, because the Bible says where sin abounds, what? Grace abounds much more. So what's, as a Christian, what's the end game? Meaning, it's easy to get all caught up in a lot of stuff, but the end game is, why do we exist on earth as Christians? Right? When we got saved, God just didn't take us right up. So the end game is why we're here, why you exist, why I exist as a Christian, is because of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ so people can have an answer to their sin. Jesus is that answer. He came not to condemn, but to save that which was lost. So I would say as a church, not only do we have to be vigorously, fervently praying corporately and individually, but we have to be fervently, vigorously sharing the love of Christ, which is the gospel, to as many people as we can. And if that's not something that you do or something that you're concerned about, and please, please get on your knees and pray that God would help you to share the truth and the hope that lies within you in Jesus Christ. So remember, the Supreme Court is not supreme. They can't rule out Jesus Christ. And you know, Jesus said, the gates of Hades would not prevail against the church, right? Is there a Roman Empire right now? There's not. Is there a risen Savior right now? God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We as a body of Christ, as Christians, are in God. We are secure, safe. We have a destiny, a destination. We are good. So now that we're good, we need to go and help other people be good. Remember, our attitude should be one of brokenness for the lost. And here's a question I want us to ask ourselves. Here's what I was asking myself on Friday. Am I hurting? Does my heart break for the lost? Whether that's somebody in a homosexual lifestyle, whether that's somebody in any other, am I broken for the lost? Am I hurting? Am I aching? Jesus looked at the sheep without a shepherd, and he was broken. That has to be our attitude. Broken for the lost. Because America is not eternal, but life after this earth is eternal. It's so important that we remember that. The seventh thing is that we walk in truth. You and I are going to be bombarded with images, messages, songs, movies, entertainment, and we, mark my words, well, that's not a big mystery, we're going to be painted as hate mongers. We're going to be ostracized. We're going to be put out. Jesus said, they hated me, they'll hate you. But that's okay. It's important that we build our life on the truth. And really, that's what it comes down to. It's the truth. We build our life on the truth. Stay in your word. Walk in the word. Obey the word. Know the word. Share the word. It's the word, the word, the word. Stay in the word. Because I'm telling you, it's going to get really weird. You're going to start wondering, well, maybe if you start going that direction, get in your word. There's going to be a lot of pressure on us to conform. Stay in your word. Number eight, don't be afraid. Fear is not a good motivation for spiritual fruit. All throughout church history, persecution has strengthened the church, hasn't it? So in America, a lot of people have been praying for revival. Has anybody ever prayed for revival here? Do you know how revival often comes? Through persecution. So God's answering our prayers. And then the ninth thing, and the last thing I'll mention, did I mention to pray? I want to mention that again. Did I say prayer? Okay. So we're going to put all of what I said in parentheses of prayer. And so I would encourage you, healthy dialogue is important. This is shocking news, shocking information, but not really shocking. So encourage healthy dialogue, and I want to challenge you. And we do have a little message today. I want to challenge you. In light of all this, I want to challenge you this week, pray and take a step of faith and share the gospel with one person. In light of Friday, the Bible says don't return evil for evil, but return evil with good. Hey, let's go. One person, can you do it? One person share the gospel with. And not the person you've already shared like 100 times with. That's okay too, but one person, okay? So let's pray, and we're just gonna do a launch into 1 Peter, okay? So Lord, thank you again for clarity, wisdom, and discernment in regards to your scriptures and the truth and how you would like us as a church to respond, to react, to do your will. And we ask that as a church that you would give us a heart for the lost, because we were all lost. And I pray that you would give us compassion to reach out and love to reach out. And I pray, Lord, that you'd position our church body right where it needs to be in order to be a beacon of light in a dark world. So we ask that grace would abound and that our hearts would be encouraged in you and the opportunity that's set before us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we're going